Crazy. Guys, we have one more story, then we are going to take a short break. Coming up next, the vice president at AIGA Chicago, Mike Josie.
I've always wanted to live out my dream of being Michael Stipe, if anybody knows that reference. I have to read the lyrics here, but it's not a song. All right. So welcome to the pale, sweaty portion of the evening. don't look at my armpits, please. All right, so I want you guys to close your eyes for a second and picture something with me. You're standing in the center of a shopping mall. You look over to your right, and there's a food court. You glance up, there's an escalator over there, and wings of the mall going out there and over there. There's a hum in the background of people, chatting and eating and walking, shuffling bags against their pant legs, losing the grip of their children's hands. Muzak plays off in the distance, the cool of air conditioning present but never overwhelming. It feels anonymous but reassuring. And then, like a coin-operated viewing scope that's gone off, you're out of there. That was my first mall dream. It came back often, in fact, dozens of times. At first, they were wonderfully boring, and I'd never had boring dreams before. I always had the weird ones that obeyed that foreign logic of your subconscious running wild. But the mall dreams somehow reflected the inanity of reality. There were low stakes. There were low goals. There was no craziness. It was just walking, satisfying the only curiosity of wanting to see where I could go. So the next dream arrived a few nights later, and I began my exploration. Every night felt like a tiny milestone. I found a skating rink near the food court. I found another atrium. I sat by the indoor fountains. I passed an Orange Julius. I saw the entrances to the department stores. I found the movie theater with its dark carpeted hallways and low ceilings. I went to the back hallway behind the mall where the offices and security offices are. One night I came to the end of the mall. You guys know what I'm talking about by that. It's that like badly lit corner where the mall walkers turn around. When I did encounter windows in this mall, it was always daylight out, and light was streaming in, and there were relatively few people around. Occasionally, it was completely silent. Other times, there was the sound of activity in the distance. I never interacted with anybody, which you'd think going there night after night, month after month, I'd make friends with security guards or something. Eventually, I took the hallways and escalators in the department stores to the department stores at the outer edges of the mall. There was wood paneling in the men's store. There's bright off-white tiles on the floor. Checkout registers scattered throughout. And I went outside. And outside there was parking lots with diagonal spaces and yellow lines. Again, everything ordinary. But after a while, I realized something after night after these dreams. I had stopped being able to go back into the mall. I somehow got stuck in the department stores and their parking lots. And I felt like a loss with this development. Like this was my mall. I had the map in my mind. It could have told you how to get to the atrium from anywhere. And I didn't understand why I wasn't allowed to go back inside. So night after night, I'd go back to these parking lots, but never back inside the mall. I knew it was there, but it was closed off to me somehow. So I went outward. And you know how there's shops at the other end of the parking lot from the mall, where the parking lots bleed into each other. I walked through these instead, and I found a record store and a jewelry store and a bookstore and a tire store. By this time, the sun was always about to set in these dreams. Just behind the buildings, actually, and the parking lots were very empty. Eventually, the mall was one more thing in the background, like those trees clustered together in parking lot islands. And I went out further. You know, when you're approaching a mall, there's always that higher density of shops and restaurants. That's where the Chili's is and the Barnes & Noble and the Target. That's how you know the mall is nearby. So suddenly, I was on the roads to the mall, which was a place I would get to eventually, like a nagging thought. I was perpetually on the first half of an errands run that never quite got completed. In these dreams, it was nighttime now, and I remember being aware that the mall was going to close before I could get there. And then, years after these dreams started, I was only a passerby. In those dreams, I was in a car driving past the mall. It was on a hilltop up there overlooking the freeway, but I couldn't exit off that freeway. I approached it from another direction, and there it was off in the distance, but I didn't know the route to take to get there. I was lost in this city, driving for dozens of blocks looking for the right street. I couldn't navigate this thing that I had built. I couldn't return to its origin. It had grown wildly like a vine on a wall, out of my control. And then, after more, you know, months and months of these dreams, I realized they had stopped completely. I was traveling a lot for work then, and all my dreams were stress dreams about going to the airport and forgetting my passport, or getting to the hotel and looking for my room, or going to the convention center and searching for my name badge. The only thing unifying those dreams was a sense of unease and uncertainty. I was no longer at a place that felt familiar that I had spent years exploring. The dreams reflected the opposite, actually. I was a citizen of nowhere, far from home, unable to figure out where I was heading. On some level, my mall was every one I'd been to growing up, patched together elegantly with no seams showing. On every road trip my family took in every city, we always went to the mall, in Richmond and Pittsburgh, Austin, Baltimore, Charleston, there was an underground one in Montreal. It was the malls that I went to with friends to just bum around on the cheap. Their names were all taken from the same small pool of nouns. South Park, Town Center, Regency Square, Cloverleaf. They all had dark carpeted movie theater hallways. They all had Orange Julii. I don't know if that's actually a word, but fuck it. Maybe it represented the very concept of the mall. It was the photos I saw all the time of the overgrown dead malls that had been long closed down, and water was seeping inside. It was the faded postcards of the malls in Southern California of the 60s and 70s, the time capsules of fashion of suburban malls in the 80s. It was the malls I found in the downtowns of cities like San Francisco or Block 37. They grow upwards, not outwards. Or maybe it represented growing up itself. I was 21 or 22 when the mall dream started, and they lasted most of my 20s. I had had multiple jobs, lived in multiple cities, bought a house, become overworked and under-vacationed. What started as calm curiosity turned into anxiety and fear until it was replaced by dreams far more stressful. Now, those are the dreams I was curious about now. Could it be they maybe represented trying to return to the mall somehow? I read once that the translation of the word wanderlust means a desire to return to a place you've never been. Some nights when it all comes flooding back to me, I ask myself, does it still exist somewhere? Why did I create it? I try to find answers, but you guys know the subconscious is no place for answers. The mall is somewhere out there, just out of sight, always around the next corner. Maybe it's a plane ride away. I remain proud of it, this universe whose big bang I witnessed. I gave it back to that fog that all dreams emerge from. And some nights ask for the chance to return just one more time. I want to see how that Orange Julius is doing. Thank you.
Thank you, Mike. Listen, if you ever want to live out that REM dream, man, I know some of those tunes. Let's do it. Me and you.